Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to continue a look at what we began last week. In this way only, we're going to continue in looking at the resurrection of Jesus and the implications of it. But I came across a story that I think will set the stage for what we're trying to do this morning. The story reflects that of a young boy by the name of Jeremy. Jeremy was not a normal child. Jeremy was terminally ill, but his parents still tried their best to give him as normal a life as possible. They enrolled him in a private religious church school. At the age of 12, Jeremy was only in second grade, seemingly unable to learn much. Sometimes he was a frustration to his teacher and to the rest of the children in the class. Springtime came and the children talked excitedly about Easter, and their teacher told them the story of Jesus and emphasized the idea of spring's new life. And she gave each of the children a large plastic egg with this assignment. I want you to take this home, and I want you to bring it back tomorrow with something inside that shows new life. All the children responded enthusiastically. Yes, Miss Miller, all of them cried out, all of them except for Jeremy. He just listened carefully, his eyes never leaving the teacher's face as she continued the story of Jesus' resurrection. She wondered, had he understood what she had said about Jesus? Did he even understand the assignment? The teacher thought perhaps maybe she should call his parents and explain the project to them, but then she got busy and forgot. The next morning, the children came to school, placing their eggs in a wicker basket on Miss Miller's desk, and after they completed their math lesson, it was time to open the eggs, one at a time. In the first egg, Miss Miller found a flower. She said, oh yes, a flower is certainly a sign of new life. When plants peek through the ground, we know that spring is here. And a little girl raised her hand and said, that's my egg, Miss Miller. The next egg contained a plastic butterfly, and the teacher held it up saying, we all know that a caterpillar changes and grows into a beautiful butterfly, indeed a sign of new life. Little Judy smiled proudly and said, Miss Miller, that one is mine. Next, the teacher found a rock with moss on it, and she explained that even moss showed life, and Billy spoke up from the back of the classroom, my daddy helped me. Then Miss Miller opened the fourth egg, but it was empty. She thought, surely this one must be Jeremy's, and he obviously didn't understand her instructions. If only she hadn't forgotten to phone his parents. And because she didn't want to embarrass him, she quietly set the egg aside and began to reach for another, when suddenly Jeremy spoke up. Miss Miller, aren't you going to talk about my egg? A bit nervous, she said, but Jeremy, your egg is empty. And he looked into her eyes and said, yes, ma'am, but Jesus' tomb is empty too. See, the greatest symbol of life is found in his empty tomb. The empty tomb is a symbol of the good life that Jesus came to offer. And the question for us is, what do we do with it? What is made possible by the fact that this tomb is empty? What is made possible by the resurrection? We talked a little bit last week about the fact that the empty tomb strengthens our faith, because we can have faith in the fact that 515 men and women could testify that they saw the resurrected Jesus. They saw Him, they touched Him, they listened to Him, they ate with Him. Indeed, evidence for the resurrection can displace doubt from our mind and help strengthen our faith both in the Father and His Son. Now, we don't have proof for everything, nor do we have to understand everything to accept it. Some things are simply accepted by faith. I don't understand how a computer works. I don't understand how our television works. I don't even understand how electricity works very well. But sometimes we need to think about what is possible because of the resurrection. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to see that there are at least three things that are made possible because of the resurrection. The first thing that is made possible is that the resurrection affirms that Jesus was who He claimed to be. The second thing is that Jesus' resurrection makes it possible for us to be forgiven. And the third thing is that Jesus and His resurrection validates our hope for the future. Let's take a look at each of those three. The first one, Jesus' resurrection affirms who He claimed to be. If Jesus arose on the third day, if Jesus is alive at the right hand of God, then all that is said about Jesus in Scripture has to be true, right? I mean, during His ministry, Jesus made some very incredible claims. He said that He was God. He said that He was older than Abraham. He said that He was perfectly sinless. He said He was the only way to heaven. He said that He was the Savior of the world. He repeatedly told the Jewish officials that I will be killed and raised on the third day. The empty tomb of Jesus affirms His credibility. The resurrection tells us that Jesus was and is who He claimed to be, and that He came to make our life with the Father possible. As we mentally stand before the empty tomb, we need to realize that it's telling us that the Bible is true, that God is real. At first, our hearts might be chilled as we realize that, well, okay, the Bible is true and God is real, there's all those warnings about judgment because that means that they're valid. But it also means we feel relief because we know that all the promises are also valid. Promises such as these that Jesus uttered, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened for you. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest." All of those become valid through the fact that Jesus is who He claimed to be, proof that is made real by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fact is, the resurrection of Jesus validates all of Scripture. All of Scripture, both its judgments and its promises. Because we need to realize that if the resurrection is a hoax, if the tomb of Jesus is occupied, then the entire Bible is a hoax. It is a vicious, sickening lie if Jesus was not raised from the dead. And sure enough, our religion would simply then be, as one author described it, an opium for the masses. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "If Christ is not raised, then we are the world's most miserable and pitiable of all people." But we know that the tomb is empty. It validates who Jesus is. Secondly, His resurrection secures our forgiveness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 says, "If Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless." But then he goes on to say, he says that indeed our forgiveness... Wait a minute, let's go back. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. I thought I could quote it and I ended up messing it up. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. He says, if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So he's saying that if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. But if Christ is indeed raised, if the tomb is indeed empty, then what is Paul saying? He's saying that our forgiveness is affirmed. Scripture tells us it is sin that separates us from God. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to accept our sin in himself and to make it possible for our sins to be forgiven so that we might be with God forever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul puts it this way, for he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Prophet Isaiah said it a long time ago. He took up our pain, he bore our suffering for sin, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that was placed upon him brought us peace with God. By his wounds we are healed. God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of those statements are found in Isaiah chapter 53. The night in the upper room before he was crucified, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He says, this is my blood shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Paul says, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Indeed, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus stands as the most important series of events in all of history. From the cross, theologians describe it this way, the blood of Jesus flowed back toward Adam and forward to embrace all of humanity that would live until the coming of Christ in judgment. The Hebrew writer says that his death on the cross makes just men perfect. You see, that's what we need to recognize is the possibility because of the resurrection. Every day we have the ability to be close to God through the death of Jesus Christ and the grave being empty. And third, Jesus' resurrection validates our hope of living forever with him. Does death end? Does death win the battle? Does death end everything for us? Is death that dead-end street? Is death the annihilation of everything? No. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, listen to what Paul writes about the last enemy. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then he goes on and he talks more about the kind of body and all that we will be raised with. But notice what he says as he finishes up this chapter, beginning at about verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of sin, of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection places us in victory. The category of the victorious. Because of the empty tomb outside of Jerusalem, one day your tomb, your grave, my grave will be empty too. We too will be raised to live forever, never to die again. We too will become one of those who will live with Christ forever. No wonder Paul is heard saying in the Philippian letter, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And so do we as well. You see, this is what is made possible by the blood of Jesus. This is what is made possible because we have come to the Lord through what Jesus has done. Excuse me, I'm having a little bit of a... My eyes are not working. We're going to stop. I told the men about this at a men's meeting a month or so back, and this is the first time that it's happened. So I have a condition that sometimes happens where my vision starts going, and it's just temporary, but we're going to just stop right here. We know, let me just say this, we know that Christ paid the price for you and I. And his tomb is empty, and we know that there is victory. And we'll continue this thought in a future lesson. At this time, let's go ahead and stand and sing our song of encouragement.